Amen. Hallelujah.
What a blessing. I appreciate all those songs. Amen. Worshiping the Lord and His resurrection and His love. As I've said many times, if it were not for the love of God, none of us would be here today. Amen. This would be an empty building.
Amen.
But God. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Visitors, we want to thank you for coming. I really don't like calling you visitors. I like calling you guests. Amen. And we appreciate you being here in the services today. And my prayer is that you, if you don't know the Lord, that today you would come to know Him. But if you know the Lord, that your heart would be encouraged and revived to go out and share His gospel, His news to others around you, and to live a life that would show forth the light of the gospel into this dark world in which we live. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A couple things before we get into the message today. I know this service has gone a little longer. I will be respectful of your time. The Lord has given me a thought to give to you, and I will do that in a moment. I do want to say to be in prayer for my nephew Cody. We'll be leaving for India, I believe, Wednesday on work. So you pray for him, his travels, and he'll be gone for a month or so, I think, this time 2 months. So you pray for him, pray for his wife, pray for his mama. She's here today, amen, and his daddy. But be in prayer for him as he travels. The second thing I wanted to say is, for those of you that weren't with us in the Sunday School Hour, we have one of our heroes in the midst, and that's Brother Bird and his wife, who are missionaries to Ecuador. And we look to them as heroes of the faith. Amen? We are able to minister to countries all around through men who have submitted their lives and women that have submitted their hearts to them to go. Amen? And we thank God for both of you. We really do. We don't just say that. We've already had money coming in for your project, so we'll never know what God will do. Amen?
Yep.
And so if the Lord speaks to your heart about helping them with their construction project to get them indoors, amen, they're worshiping outside. And we thank the Lord for Brother Bird and his family.
Amen.
And what they mean to us as a church. So you be in prayer for them. But thank you for stopping by and sharing with us today, brother. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but I want to read a verse, a couple verses, first of all, from the book of Revelation. You put your thumb in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but go with me to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth unto him that loved us. There's the key. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Could you imagine being the man that held the hammer and held the nail when he comes back in glory? The one that spat in his face, mocking him. There's going to be a lot of wailing going on. But he says in verse number 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come before you and our hearts are just overwhelmed with the love that you have for us. God, I don't deserve to be standing here. I don't deserve any good thing. But because you love me, you have saved me. You have washed me of my sin. You said you made us kings and priests with your Father. God, help us today as we proclaim the story. You told us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And my prayer is today that somebody that is sitting in our midst would hear not just the story, but Lord, they would put themselves in this position and have an understanding that Jesus paid it all. And without Him, we have no hope in this world. We have no hope in eternity if we do not trust the blood of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is today that it would become so real that they wouldn't be able to wait to the invitation, that they would come even as we speak and get saved by the grace of God. Lord, help us, those of us that have been saved, Lord, to worship you today
We get so cold and complacent and so worried about silly things in this life. God, help us to worship You today like we ought to. Be thankful unto You. Help me today, God. I don't deserve to be standing here. I don't deserve to be holding a copy of Your Word, but I thank You for letting me have the opportunity. God, I yield myself to You this morning. I yield my lips and my voice and my mind and just everything that's in me, God, I yield it to You that Your Word would be proclaimed to these people today. We love You and we thank You and praise You for all that You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul takes an entire chapter talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For sake of time this morning, I know we're 10 minutes already till noon. I know you've got dinner plans and I know you've got things going on, but I just want to give you what God has put in my heart this morning. The first thing I want you to see, and I'll try to go as quickly as I can, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the very first part, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all of the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also as one born out of due time." What Paul was bringing for these people was the fact that in those time and in that culture, it took three witnesses to witness something to make it an actual truth. So what Paul was saying is, if you're struggling with this belief of Jesus being risen from the dead, let me tell you, over 500 people at one time saw Jesus after He had went into the tomb. Amen? And he told us of how many people had seen Christ after the fact that they had nailed Him to a cross and had put Him in that tomb. And this morning, if you have any doubts, there's over 500 people that laid eyes on Him. He lives today. He is the only one. You can talk about, as they sung about the Buddha and the Muhammad and all the ones, none of them ever died for any of their followers. None of them ever died for any of those who believed. They were not caring about those who believed them. But Jesus loved me and He died for me. And He lives again. And I just want to give you something. And we're going to have to, you're going to have to help me, because as quickly as we're going to have to go, you're going to have to use some of your imagination. You might have to pin down some scriptures so you can follow up and prove me whether I'm right or wrong later on. Amen. But I believe you'll find that everything is in the book. But I want you to have an understanding this morning. Paul, in the latter part of this chapter, go ahead and skip with me down. You can read between what we just read and what we're getting ready to read, but he's just talking about the resurrection. In verse number 50 it says, or actually go back with me to, yeah, let's just go to verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Come on now. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you this morning might be sitting here wondering why in the world it is such a big deal that Jesus Christ lives today. After He died, after He was put to death, it would have been enough to know that He loved me enough to give His life. Would it not? He loved me enough to be beaten, like I've said many times, beyond recognition. Nobody knew He was even a man after they got done with Him. People wonder why somebody had to help carry His cross. He had been beaten to a point where you couldn't even tell He was a human. You get that in your mind and understand that He loved me that much. So the next time the devil tries to tell you, you are nobody. Has he ever tried to tell you that? Amen. That you're nothing and you're not worth anything? Take him to the cross. Say, so you know what? Other people may not think a whole lot of me, but Jesus did. Amen. He gave His life. Amen. He gave His blood so that I could be free. Amen. But the one thing I want to help you with this morning, and it's hard to try to preach through the cross and the resurrection with just narrowing it down to one little thing, but we're going to have to. But what Paul, he's talking about here is something, he talks about a sting in death. He talks about there being a sting in death. And when you think about it, when we think about death, a lot of people are very afraid of death. A lot of people are afraid, and you say, well, aren't you? Well, no, actually, you know what? I enjoy the life I have, but death does not scare me. You say, why? Because of the peace that I have in my heart, knowing that that if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with Him. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. But what Paul is trying to say here is the sting of death. And he tells us what that sting is. He said the sting of death is sin. Now everybody remembers the story where sin began. It began with Adam and Eve in the garden. The Lord told him, if you eat of that tree, the day that you do, you're going to surely die. Now, in a physical sense, they ate the fruit, they were still alive. But in a spiritual sense, see, God made them to be an eternal being. But they sinned. What does the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So how does, if the wages of sin is death, how does sin become the sting of death? See, one simple thing I think about salvation that a lot of people, you know, I know we deal with life and I know we go through this journey, but I'm telling you what, I even have to remind myself every day, I ought to be the happiest person alive. But one thing that we forget is this. He said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he telling me? What he is telling me is this. And I know this may not be very deep for you, but let me just tell you something. Over in verse 50 he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot. Is that what your Bible says? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. All right. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were now corrupt. They were cursed by sin. Correct? Amen. Their fellowship with God in heaven, in a spiritual sense, had been severed. Sin separated Adam and Eve from God. What Paul is saying is, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. At that point in Adam and Eve's life, they had made a mistake that had ruined their eternity. You realize that? You getting that? You realize the first time that you sinned and it didn't take you that long? Right? Never had to teach one of my children how to sin. Never. Right? Never had to run around saying, "Go put that broom away. You're sweeping too much. You're cleaning your room too much. You're..." You don't have to do that. Why? Because they're sinners. The first time you sinned, it ruined your eternity. The wages of sin is death. That's why Jesus looked at Nicodemus in the eye and he said, "Ye must be born again." And he was looking at a man who knew this Bible probably 10 times better than you do. Y'all know who Nicodemus was? Nicodemus knew the Bible inside, outside, upside down. He could have quoted it backwards probably. But he looked him in the face and he said, "You must be born again." And you know why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But let me tell you, when Jesus Christ... You got to get a glimpse of this. Because flesh and blood could not inherit the kingdom of God. For a temporary period, as we know, for Adam and Eve, he went and killed lamb and he covered them with the skins of animals. He showed them that without the shedding of blood, there was no covering, there was no remission. But for a more permanent fix... Amen. Amen. For that new covenant that we have and enjoy, there was not a man that lived upon this earth that was born of any woman that could have died for your sins. Because flesh and blood, any flesh and blood from Adam is corrupt. Because of one man's sin, sin entered into the world. That's what the Bible says, right? But it also says, it talks about Jesus. See, when we understand the fact that God sent His Son into this world, you've got to understand that the Bible tells me that God is a spirit and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So to understand God, God is a spirit. We must worship Him in spirit. I don't see Him. He's with us today because He told me, "Where two or three are gathered in His name, there am I in the midst." He is with us right now. But let me tell you something. He knew that nobody now was good enough to pay for the sin that Adam and Eve had committed and that all the world had committed. You know, you get to chapter 6 of Genesis already and He destroys the world except for 8 people, Noah and his family, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And we see that. But what happened when Jesus came into this world? He took the incorruptible. His only begotten Son. And He humbled Himself. You got to get this. You got to get this. God Almighty in heaven lowered Himself down, put on humanity. By the way of a virgin named Mary. We don't worship her. He said she was a blessed woman, but we don't worship her. That's not where the blessing is. But because He carried with Him, He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, He was not corrupted with the blood of Adam. Holy God in heaven took upon Him the form of man, came down and lived with us. Like I said, He was born just like any other child was born. He came into this world. He had to grow up. Amen.
He had to grow up, and at 12 years old, he was teaching in the synagogues. People was wondering what in the world. His mom and daddy didn't even know where he was. What are you doing? He said, don't you know that I'm about my father's business? His own family didn't even understand him. Could you imagine the turmoil that went on there? And he takes upon the form of man, and he worked. He didn't have his ministry till he was 30 years old. He worked till he was 30 years old as a carpenter. People knew him. Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter? He worked. He took upon him the curse that he had put upon Adam. What did he say? By the sweat of your brow, you're going to work. And so what he did is he took upon humanity upon him. Now he could have said, no, I'll let you go down there, but you don't have to work. No, he took upon him the curse that had been put upon humanity, and he had to work by the sweat of his brow. And we know and understand that his dad wasn't mentioned very long after. Well, it never was mentioned again after he was 12 years old. He was providing for his mama when he died at 33. And so he had to take upon him the curse of working. And then we know all that he bore from those people beating him and mocking him and just tearing his flesh apart with the cat of nine tails and dealing with all that, being nailed to a cross. But see, the whole reason he went through all of that is because he was incorruptible. He became corruptible. There was no way that we in our corruption could reach out to the incorruptible. But he, being incorruptible, came down to us and became corruptible. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He came down here and became sinful. He took upon him the sin of the whole world. Do you realize Jesus could not have died if he had not have become sin? You ever had that thought? See, people that want to argue the fact that he didn't take upon him the sin of the world, that is the only way Jesus died, because the wages of sin is death. Otherwise, you couldn't have killed Jesus. He gave his own life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the soldiers killed him, but he would not have been able to die if he had not become sin. But he became sin. Because there was an avenue, he had to do some, making some pathways for us, because there was no way we could make a pathway back to God. So he came down out of incorruption, came, took upon him the corruption of man. He bled, he shed his blood on that cross, and his words were, "It is finished." And if you study the words, it was just one word that he actually said. To stelestai, and that word was a word of transaction. It said, it is paid for. It's done. Amen. So on the cross he said, it's done. Yeah. But yet he had to be put in that tomb. And he had to go down into the grave. And he tells John, the reason we read that verse was he looked at him and he said, hey, I've got the keys of death and I've got the keys of hell. How did he get them? He took upon him corruption. And you know what he's saying to you today? You might think of those Roman soldiers that beat him and spat on him as the worst individuals in this world. But if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying no to his love, you're doing the same thing. Because you're putting the gift that he gave for you and you're nailing it back to the cross, saying, I don't need it. Let me tell you something. If I gave my son to die for you, and you wouldn't accept the fact of that gift and what it took to give him, people wonder why the wrath of God is going to fall at the great white throne judgment. It's because people are rejecting something he made a way for you today. He took the stinger out of death. The sting of death is sin. You know what? And this is where we're going to leave. You know what? It is a blessing for me. You know what, Michael? It's a blessing to be saved. It really, I mean, it's just, isn't it wonderful? I don't think we really grasp the blessingness of being saved. But you know what helps me too? And I'm still trying to just get a hold of this.
You know what? It would be something, Brother Alex, to know that I'm saved by the grace of God and I'm going to get to spend eternity in heaven. But if I still had to take all my sin and I had to take them before my Father in heaven and stand there and just take the shame and the reproach of all the things that I'd ever done, could you imagine I would still be worried about death? But what Paul is saying is, people, you got to understand, he took the stinger out of death. And the death stinger is sin. And you know what? You know what the book of Psalms says? He does not, and I'm paraphrasing here, he's not going to hold your iniquity against you. And this is the part of salvation that I hope you can rejoice in today, is that when I stand before a holy God in heaven, the Bible says I'm going to be judged by my works, okay? The things that I do. We're going to get to that in another day, another time. But He is not judging me for my sin, because all that was paid for on the cross at Calvary. And the what a lot of people worry about death and sin and meeting Jesus is they're so glad they're saved and they're so glad they're going to heaven. But somewhere in the back of their mind, the devil is trying to scare you to death thinking, well, what about that? I don't want... I mean, what about... Jesus said, I took the stinger out. I bore the sin of the whole world. He said He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He put it as far as the east is from the west. The last time I noticed is if you're going east, you never see west. Why in the world would He bring it back up? Yes, we're going to be judged for what we could have done and the things that we did. You're going to be standing there with ashes, some of you. Some of you are going to be standing there with gold and silver and precious stones. I don't know what your life's about, but let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about the sin that He died for on the cross. He took the sting. He gave me victory over death. He gave me victory over hell. He's got the keys in His hand saying, you don't have to go there. So on this Easter Sunday morning, as you leave this building, my prayer is first of all that you won't leave this building if you've not accepted what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for you. All you have to do is repent of your sin, realize you're a sinner, and without God you have no hope, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nothing good that you do can get you to heaven. But the grace of God. Let me read you one more verse and I'll let you go. 1 Corinthians, this is one of my favorite. Go with me too. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 8, where we left off, and it said, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Basically, what Paul is telling us is, I'm not standing here today because of me, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me tell you something today. Don't ever get past the fact that you are what you are by the grace of God. That's why God hates pride. He hates a proud look, the Bible says. Why? Because He knows you ain't nothing without Him. Amen? This morning, please don't leave if you don't know Him. Please, we've got so many people that'll take you anywhere, show you how to be saved by the grace of God. If you're here and you're saved, let this be one first Easter. If Easter's just another day to put some eggs out in the yard and watch the little kids run around and just have a good time, let me tell you something. You need to be restored into the joy of understanding that He took away your sin. Yeah, I don't have to be afraid to die. Because when He looks at me, just like He looked as He passed in the first Passover, He looked at the doorpost and the lintel and He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They didn't have to be afraid of death that night because of the blood on the door. You don't have to be afraid of death today because of the blood that was shed on that cross. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, please. As she comes to play,
Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, please let somebody show you how to be saved. As these pray, I just want to sing a chorus before we leave. That simple chorus, "Thank you, Lord." Paul said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." Amen. We have victory today. We ought to be victorious. Amen. Don't let this world get you down. We are victors. We are overcomers in Christ. Let's sing.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Before you leave, we got some young people that wanted to come and join the church this morning. Amen. Still want to do that? Yeah. Talk to us. Y'all come on forward. Amen. They've been coming for quite some time. They came to us last week and we spoke to them back in the office. And they all profess to know the Lord as their Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And they even meet on Friday nights and have a Bible study together. Amen. Of their own accord. Hallelujah. That's a blessing to a preacher. Amen. Students of the Word of God. So I want to make a motion that we bring them into our church. Brother Lonnie, Brother Greg, everybody raise your right hand if you agree. If you don't agree, meet me out back. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate these young folks. Amen. They want to be a part of this place, part of this family, and we thank God for them. Amen. Appreciate the song this morning and the blessing that was. And so as we leave today, you come by, members come by, hug their neck, get to know them. Most of you already do because they've been coming a while, but you just welcome them into our fellowship. Lydia, you just play through something and y'all are dismissed.
Amen.
No service this evening.